D-Mace, Vingen and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you on a beautiful day at the ballpark. We are at First Horizon Park, where the Nashville Sounds will face the Iowa Cubs. First pitch is at 6:35. You can catch all of the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure and Social Cantina. I mean,
y'all hear that music? You hear it?
We're yelling timber.
We are.
Metaphorically. We're not literally yelling timber, but we are just behind home plate here at First Horizon Park. This is the perfect day for baseball. It's a beautiful day for baseball.
It is perfect.
This is the quintessential beautiful day for baseball. So we're glad we're out here. Nick Suss of the Tennessean will join the program at 4:20. Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, will join us for his weekly chat at 5 o'clock. But you know what today is?
Thursday?
It's Thursday. It's May 14th, and it's NFL schedule release day. The moment you've all been waiting for. But as you've probably seen on social media, a lot of the schedules are leaking out around the league. The league itself has announced many games. But earlier, I believe it was it earlier today or yesterday? I don't know. Days run together. I think it was earlier today. Jordan Schultz I think he works for himself, reported that week one, the Jets will travel to Tennessee to face their former head coach Robert Saleh and the Tennessee Titans. So week one, reportedly, Jets at Titans. And there are so many different storylines in that game. Not just the fact that Robert Saleh will face the team that fired him a couple of years ago, but you've got Jarvis Brownlee. And Jarvis Brownlee, he ran his mouth a little bit earlier today. We'll get to that in a moment. Tavondre Sweat. There are so many different storylines. But I thought this was funny from our friend of the show, Easton Freeze. If you were putting together the perfect maximum chaos game for week one of the Robert Saleh era, could you come up with a better game than this? Jets at Titans. As Easton wrote, quote, "It's perfect revenge narrative stacked on top of the pressure to be good enough to beat the Geno/Glenn Jets out of the gates. Nowhere to hide. The NFL found a way to make it so that the Titans land, will burn on Monday if they don't win, which is very funny for a team that should have tame expectations."
It's true. I think the Titans will be favored in that game.
Our other friend of the show, John Glennon, I saw this earlier, said that the very, very, very early line, Titans -1.5.
Okay.
So there
very,
you go.
Very early.
Very, 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 very early line, Titans -1.5. But if you're...
That's
if you're,
not much.
No, it's not.
Against the Jets.
That doesn't say
at home. That doesn't say much about your roster.
Exactly.
You're favored by one over the Jets.
I mean, this would be a prime opportunity, but you could also fall on your face. But I think this would be a prime opportunity to make this first game a game where majority of people can watch it, just because of the storylines that are being built. I do believe the Jets are going to be a better team. How much better? I don't know, but I think they're going to be a better team. I definitely believe the Titans are going to be a better team. But now you're starting to see these storylines sort of bubble up. And I'm hoping that the NFL is taking notice. I know it's not, a big headline, but this is what the NFL is about, stories. And if you can connect a story to a game, that makes it more intriguing.
I don't think this game is going to be on primetime or anything like that. This looks like a noon central kickoff. But
more than likely.
But, again, this is, Willie, I would look. I preface all of this by saying, I know it's kind of silly to put so much stock into a week one game that's being played 4 months from now. But when you consider the storylines that are wrapped up in this game, specifically Robert Saleh, second chance as a head coach, first game as Titans head coach, going up against his old team. As Easton said, if that game does not go well for the Titans, man, oh, man, ooh, is there potential for fireworks the next day on our show from our listeners?
We know how it works. I mean, it works that way regardless of who you're playing. Mm-hmm. But I would say it'll be even more. When they lost to the Giants a few years ago in the opening game, yeah, I people were ready to freak out. Yeah. And that one, the Giants weren't supposed to be any good. But Saquon Barkley and Brian Daboll, mm-hmm, and Daniel Jones had a good game. The Titans, who under Mike Vrabel went through a couple years where they never missed a big field goal, missed the field goal at the end of the game.
Yeah,
that would have won it. And that was kind of a harbinger. The Giants actually made the playoffs that year. They were supposed, yeah, to be one of the worst teams in the league. And they ended up going to the playoffs
and
winning
a playoff game.
They did win a game on the road in the playoffs that year. And that, I think, was the year that the Titans righted the ship,
yeah,
and then fell apart at the end of the year. That was that season, I think. I guess the moral of the story is everybody's going to overreact in the first game, win or lose, regardless. But it'll probably have a little extra mustard on this one.
And that's what I was going to say, no matter what happens outside of a blowout, even in a blowout, I think people will say, well, the Jets weren't good anyway. They were not supposed to be, yeah, good anyway. So let's see what happens the next,
right,
following week. And if they lose, it's like, here we go. They can't even beat the lowly Jets. You know, here we go again with another 3-13. Cam Ward not living up to expectations. Even if he play a really good game, it's still going to be, and they lose, it's still going to be something, win or lose. So,
by the way, the New York Post reported something other than Mike Vrabel and Diana Russini today. The New York Post reported that the Titans will visit the New York Giants in week three. So, ooh, Brian Daboll's revenge game, I guess you could call it, takes place.
Get them out there early.
In,
yeah,
week three. I think it was reported that the Titans will play the Eagles in week two. But if you see any schedule leaks that we don't get to, 615-737-1025 or phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. But I mentioned Jarvis Brownlee. Remember, Jarvis Brownlee traded by Mike Borgonzi to the New York Jets during last season. And Brownlee, I think he was a bit sour about it. Well, our friend Easton Freeze pointed out that once this game leaked, Jarvis Brownlee went to Instagram, I guess screenshotted the graphic from Jordan Schultz, and added, quote, "You ever seen a gorilla on the green grass? Circle week one on your calendar, bloodbath. Y'all gonna feel every inch in my body," end quote. I wish I was making that up.
It's on.
Jarvis Brownlee.
You gotta love it. I mean, listen, again, it's a storyline. Now he has to back it up no matter, yeah, what. He has to go out there and, you know, where the rubber meets the road, and you got to prove that, you know, what you said, you're capable of backing it up. And I'm talking about a win. I'm not talking about you do well and y'all still lose. No, it has to be a win, period. But with Jarvis, with him, I think it's the narrative that was attached to him when he was leaving out the door. It wasn't necessarily, I don't believe, the trade, because players understand it happens. You get traded, you know, you're here 1 year, you trade it the next. Things may not be going well, but they trade you off. But there seems to always never be, like, as you're leaving out, somebody throwing dirt on your name or whatnot. And he felt that's what the Titans were doing. That's what the narrative was he wasn't a team player, he wasn't this. So he goes to New York with the Jets. And he's always trying to prove he's not that player that the Titans claimed him to be. He wasn't a part of the new culture in the locker room. So he's more so upset about that than I think the actual trade is. You're throwing dirt on my name. I don't know whether it's true or not what, you know, they thought of Jarvis all it was he wasn't a culture guy. He wasn't a guy that fit our culture. That can be defined by anything you want it to be, from play to attitude. It doesn't matter. And I think he took it as my attitude, how I was in the building. And they sent me out the door and just threw dirt on my name as I was going out the door. That's what he's pissed off about.
I'd say first play of the season, play action to Carnell Tate, covered by Brownlee. You know what's going to happen?
Let me
go for the bomb. Go for the bomb.
Let me paint.
You know what's going to happen?
P.I.
Defensive holding.
Let me paint the picture.
We were thinking along the same
lines. Yes.
Brownlee did get penalized
exactly.
more than once
absolutely.
When he was in the Titans uniform.
Yes, he did. Let me paint the picture of the absolute worst case scenario for the beginning of this game. Titans receive the opening kickoff. Cam Ward jogs onto the field alongside Carnell Tate. His first official NFL play. Cam Ward drops back. He's pressured by Tavondre Sweat. He scrambles. He tosses a prayer toward Carnell Tate. Jarvis Brownlee, interception, pick six. 6-0, New York Jets.
Please don't let that happen.
By the way,
please
the
don't
Jets,
let that happen.
To make matters worse, if that were to happen, the Jets were the first team in NFL history last season to record zero interceptions
right.
in a full season. So wow. Just imagine Cam Ward throwing a pick six to Jarvis Brownlee after being pressured by Tavondre Sweat, intended for Carnell Tate. 6-0 Jets right off the hop.
If he throws an interception in that game at any point,
yeah,
the whole Jets sideline is going to go crazy. They haven't been so long since they had an interception.
Absolutely. But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen realistically. Whether it's a run or a pass, if Jarvis Landry is in the game, Jarvis Landry, he's an older player.
Yes, wide receiver,
yes. If Jarvis Brownlee is on the field, nickel outside, don't matter. First play of the game, he is going to try to his best to put whoever he's defending on the ground. I'm telling you what he's going to do. I've seen DBs year in and year out, especially those that go to another team and they're playing their team, or they're going to get somebody that's been talking smack, or if they was talking smack, the first play, run or pass, he is going to jam the receiver. He's going to try to put whoever he's in front of on the ground to show that I mean business.
Yeah.
That's what he's going to do.
Might get penalized for it.
Yeah, he may get penalized, but that is what he's going to do.
Tavondre Sweat also reacted to the report of the first game being Jets at Titans with saluting emoji, snorting smoke emoji, snorting smoke emoji. He took he had a little more tact than Jarvis Brownlee. But Tavondre Sweat amped up for the game.
I like it, though. I like it. I want them all, our offensive linemen, to be on their P's and Q's. You know, I want big Tavondre Sweat to come out and put the pressure. Why? Because then that'll show me what type of offensive line we have.
One texter says, why does Adam have to be the male version of Debbie Downer describing the first play of the game? I was just saying that's the worst case scenario. I'm not saying it's going to happen.
But you kind of are.
But is that's par for course, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so, people accuse me.
No such thing as a jinx.
Exactly.
Well, people accuse me of being a jinx. So if I put it out there, maybe the opposite will happen. Maybe Cam Moore drops back. Jarvis Brownlee ends up on Carnell Tate. Carnell Tate makes one of those contested catches he was so good at making at Ohio State. Penalty flag on the play, declined because it was a big gain on Jarvis Brownlee. Maybe that's what actually happens. That same texter says, I prefer Willie's version. But
the defensive holding.
P.I.
He's good for one. The over-under is 1.5 penalties on Brownlee in that game.
I think that might
be a take it to the bank.
Yeah, I think that was a part of his deal. He's a good player. I think he's a developing player. He has the right mentality and attitude. He has to know how to walk that fine line in this league. But for whatever reason, he just couldn't. He never, and I've always said that he never trusted his ability to get in and out of his breaks, even though he would always be in phase with the receiver. It was like he didn't trust that he can break down and get from point A to point B fast like the receiver or be there, and he would grab him more times than not.
One texter says, Trevor says, if I was Brownlee, I'd be more worried about his team getting an interception this year. Well, he's going to try in week one. Jeff said the Raiders beat the Patriots week one last year. The Patriots went to the Super Bowl. The Raiders were the worst team. I mean, we know in the NFL anything can happen. But I think this was this game, the Jets being the Titans' first opponent, I certainly think it's the most, it's the highest risk opponent, I guess you could say, considering the storyline, specifically Saleh. Like, it would be one thing if this matchup happened in week six and the Titans were 2-3 and the Jets were 0-5. But to start the season head-to-head, I think there's a lot riding on it. That's just me.
Yeah, but I think from a fan standpoint, not from a team standpoint, this is more of a higher risk, lower reward type of game, because if they lose, everybody's going to be bashing them. But if they win, it's like, oh, you should have won. But in the locker room, it's like, listen, we won. We moving on.
Gunner says, imagine being that salty about getting traded from a 3-14 team. Well, I guess it is the Jets they went to. I totally get it. One texter says, thank God for Daboll. We aren't 100% sure it's a first play handoff up the middle. Well, we'll see what Brian Daboll's first play call is. 615-737-1025. It's been reported. Week one, season opener, Nissan Stadium, New York Jets, Tennessee Titans. Is this as close to a must-win game in week one of an NFL season as there can be for Robert Saleh in his first game, in a second chance as an NFL head coach? 615-737-1025. We will take your reaction to that and continue the conversation coming up next. Today, Vanderbilt baseball takes on South Carolina at Hawkins Field. First pitch is at 6. You can catch all of the action here on 1025. The game coverage is presented by Gary Force Acura.
You don't draft your way into primetime. You play your way into primetime. So just because you had the number one pick doesn't mean you automatically make the primetime schedule the following season, but certainly fan interest will be there. I think they're on national television in the preseason, so at least fans will get a chance to see Cam play then if he's playing. But I'll tell the Titans and I'll tell the Saints and I'll tell all the teams what we tell everybody. Nobody knows anything. It's sports. It's the NFL. It's the beauty of the league, right? There's four or five playoff teams every year that finish last in their division the previous season. There's always something like that. So you've got every chance to play yourself into bigger television windows, whether we flex you to a Sunday night or a Monday night, or we expand the footprint of your game on CBS on Sunday at 1 o'clock. You can get to 60, 70% of the country on a Sunday afternoon if yours is the game that matters. So they've got every opportunity, just like every other team, to play their way into bigger windows. And look, I hope they surprise us every year. Somebody surprises us, right? 2 years ago, we didn't put the Texans on national television and they made the playoffs. Last year, I think the Commanders only had one or two, and now they have 9. Like, things turn around real quick in this league. If the Titans make the playoffs and Cam's the rookie of the year, I'd...
That was our buddy, NFL VP of Broadcast Planning, Mike North, last year on Russ Tucker's podcast, talking about the Titans getting 0 primetime games despite having the number one overall pick. You can't draft your way into primetime, guys. I had to dig into the archives to find that. I wanted to surprise you today with one of my favorite clips we've ever played on the show.
That was a good one. Now, I want to see if that continues to be the case, because the Vegas Raiders had the number one pick and they drafted Mendoza.
What happens if the Raiders draft their way into primetime?
Let's see if the Raiders, after having a dismal season consecutively, if they are awarded even one primetime game. Because remember, what did he say last year, Adam?
You can't draft your way into primetime.
And what did the Titans have? They have one preseason. And he said that so flippant.
If he plays.
That was a backhanded compliment.
He was so excited to be talking. It was unbelievable. Like, somebody's letting me talk? Wow.
But you know what? The Titans didn't make the playoffs, and Cam Ward wasn't Rookie of the Year. So we'll see if Mike North and co. penalize the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, they're going to.
Oh, definitely.
All right, Derek, I'm going to give you an opportunity here. Last week, you said the Tennessee Titans would have 2 scheduled primetime games and be flexed into a third. Before we find out the schedule in a matter of hours, Do you want to change your mind, or are you locking in?
Listen, I ain't changing. I ain't changing. I'm down like four flat tires, man. I'm down on all 10. Okay?
Okay.
They're going to get two, possibly even three flexed in two. I'm standing firm on that. I'm standing firm.
I admire your gumption, Derek Mason. By the way, friend of the show, Nick Suss, who will join us at 4:20, as he wrote in the Tennessee, and the Titans didn't play a single primetime game in 2025, as we have noted many times. He mentions the last time the Titans played a game that wasn't buried in a Sunday slate with other games was week four of the 2024 season on Monday Night Football against the Miami Dolphins, which I believe was one of those doubleheader Monday Night Football games. Suss continues, it's been even longer since the Titans hosted a primetime game. For that, think back to a Thursday Night Football game played against the Dallas Cowboys in 2022.
Look, the Titans, you know, it's not just this year or last year that they haven't been featured, you know. And this year, there's no – I mean, listen, last year and potentially this year, you have an excuse not to put them on. They haven't been good. I get that part. But then there was a time, you know, and I think it was in Nick's article from 2015 to 2025 where the Titans only appeared so many times. But in that span, they had, I think they had four or five playoff trips. In the season that they were coming off of, I think being the number one seed at 12-5, the next very next season they didn't have many primetime games. So I truly believe there is this sort of bias when it comes to certain teams. It's always been that way with the Titans, even going back to my days,
yeah,
where no matter what you do, they're only going to give you a certain amount, maybe two.
Minimum.
Exactly, the minimum amount, just to put you out there, no matter how well the Titans have been doing. And to me, the league, there should be something done about that, because if you are penalizing the team, I think, honestly, I just believe they continue to penalize Bud for what he did. That's what I believe. And because nothing tells me otherwise. This team spent a portion between 15 and 25, half of it in the playoffs, I believe. And they never really got any primetime games. And they had arguably he was the best running back in the game and arguably a top five player in the game. And Derrick Henry.
It's been pointed out that the NFL is big on reunion games for the Jets and season openers, as has been reported. Jets at Titans week one, Robert Saleh. In 2013, the Jets faced Darrell Revis in the season opener against the Buccaneers. In 2021, it was the Jets versus Sam Darnold and the Panthers. Last year, it was the Jets versus Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. So this is a thing, apparently, that the NFL likes to do, putting the Jets against a former coach or notable player in week one of the NFL season.
Well, I mean, that bodes well for the Titans and Titan fans that, you know, want to see their team on a national stage. I think, you know, knowing that that has been done before with the Jets and trying to keep up, you know, just keep them relevant in a sense. That does bode well for the Titan fans or for players. But honestly, you know what, players look at it and they may look at the beginning of the year and they may, you know, oh man, we ain't got no primetime game. But then after that, it's just like, all right, let's go play. Let's go prove to them that we deserve to be on the field. So after it initially comes out, players don't think about it anymore.
Trevor says, fun fact, the Titans are 3-7 in their past 10 home openers, according to Warren Sharp. They better beat the Jets. One texter says, I predict there will be a billion Jets fans at the game.
Well, I doubt it. Not a billion.
Not even a first.
There'll be a few. It won't be like
not literally a billion.
I don't think it'll be like the Cowboys or the Steelers or one of those teams.
I think the first game of the season typically brings in the most people because it's like that hope, like, okay, everybody's on even playing ground and I want to see my team at its best. So what everybody tends to do is come out for the first game. The weather's great, you know, and then, you know, maybe New York don't bring as many people, but if they expect to dominate the stadium like, you know, say, Buffalo or somebody. It's not going to happen, especially not the first game of the season. I don't expect it to happen.
One texter says, you can't compare the Raiders to the Titans. The Raiders have a much bigger footprint, whereas the Titans are pretty local.
Yes, that's really what it is.
Yeah.
It's TV market size and the fact that they don't have a national following. The Raiders do have a following that goes beyond where they're playing. They played in a lot of different places. But they have one of those national kind of things.
But, again, it came out of his mouth. It came out of the horse's mouth. You cannot draft your way into prime time. Okay. How many games did the Raiders have last year on prime time?
They had some Monday night.
Did they?
I feel.
The only teams last season who did not have any scheduled primetime games were the Titans, Saints, and Browns. So the Raiders definitely had.
They must have one.
At least one.
One or two.
I can't pretend to know what the Raiders' primetime schedule was last season. Scott in Shelbyville says, is that Jimi Hendrix in the background or Stevie Ray Vaughan? Either way, it's awesome. It is
Jimi Hendrix.
We are.
Voodoo Child.
We are at First Horizon Park as the sounds of the Iowa Cubs warm up behind us. So we've got a great soundtrack. One texter says, if the Titans get two primetime games, I'm ready for D-Mace to take his victory lap. He believes in them.
Yes, I do. I do. I'm not going to rub it in. I'm not going to rub it in anybody's face. I'm just going to take it with grace, you know, and hey, I know what I'm talking about. But if it don't happen, I guess I don't know what I'm talking about.
you just don't know Mike North.
Exactly.
Like, we know Mike North.
Do you think we can get Mike North on the
show? He's going to sabotage Nashville.
Oh,
Andrew
man.
Says.
He was so excited to tell everybody how you can't schedule your way into prime time.
And then he was excited to tell them,
about the preseason
you got
game.
A preseason game.
Oh, yeah.
And Cam may play.
we've got to dig up our segment playing that clip we just played from last year. I've said it before. It's one of my favorite segments in the history of the show. Andrew says, what do you guys think is more likely, a Thursday nighter at Jacksonville or a Monday nighter versus Cleveland? I would say Thursday nighter at Jacksonville. Thursday night is prime time AFC South matchup to me. I think Thursday night football, I think Titans versus Jaguars. That just immediately comes to mind.
I think Thursday used to be the dumping ground, but now that Amazon has paid what they paid to get that game, I don't think I think they try to get better matchups for them.
Yeah.
I think Thursday night used to be the old, this is where we can get the, throw them a cookie.
Because it was on
the
NFL
Jaguars
Network,
and the Titans.
It?
Yeah.
It was on NFL Network.
Yeah.
Josh, who's from Nevada, says, the Raiders had a Black Friday game on Amazon. So that was the
only game?
Raiders nationally televised game. Raiders Black Friday game on Amazon.
Well, they knew everybody would be out shopping.
I must have missed that one.
Yeah, I missed that one too.
I definitely missed that one.
But, I mean, Titan fans, honestly, Titan fans should be a little bit upset with the NFL because it's been proven whether – They've come off of a really good season, great season, or if they've come off of a bad season as they have the last 2 years. It's hard. The NFL is almost like they're forced. Like when they're putting them on television, it's like, oh, I really don't want to do it, but I got to do it, and they put them on television.
Do you think it physically pains Mike North, the idea of putting the Titans on primetime?
No, I think Mike North is just excited to not put him on there.
It don't pain him at all.
He's excited to tell you why he does everything. I don't.
It don't pain him.
I want to know who unleashed him to do interviews.
Well, do you think he's being prepared to do all of the interviews starting tomorrow once the schedule comes out?
He's
taking him out of mothballs.
I'm
after
sure he's been looking forward to
a
it
year.
All year.
Yes. We'll see if our buddy Mike
he's
North.
He's been silenced.
Yes.
For a year.
Who was interviewing him when he when
that
he
was
made
Ross.
Their
that was Ross Tucker's podcast.
Okay.
Oh.
And
so Ross, surely Ross will have him back on.
Yeah.
Ross Tucker specifically asked North about the Titans not having any primetime games despite having the number one overall pick, because I think we talked about this last year, how history showed that the number one overall pick at quarterback typically got at least one primetime game. The rules have changed, obviously. You're not required to have a primetime game anymore. But
which I think is a bummer for everybody, at least in my opinion. Okay, I want to ask you guys this question. If you don't think, which y'all don't, really you don't think they're getting a game, you're in the middle, like, one maybe.
I don't think they're getting
exactly.
I think they get one. I think
okay.
they get one.
Do y'all think that they have a higher percentage of chance of getting a flex game or a game just on the docket?
Well, you can't. They have to be good to be
yeah.
flex.
That's why I'm asking you. Do you think they are more likely to get a flex game, Willie? Because this question is directly, honestly, to you. Do they get a flex game or do they get a on the docket game?
They will not get an on the docket game. The only way they would get one would be a flex game, and I think that's unlikely. I just don't think they'll be that relevant this year, but I've been wrong before. Strength of schedule, we just illustrated how that can give you a lot of hope. If your schedule turns out to be one of the 10 easiest, you're going to win some more games.
So you don't think this is a maybe, Adam? You just think one and that's it?
I think they get one scheduled primetime game. I'm going to say it's a Thursday nighter, and that's it. I don't think they're going to be good enough at the end of the season to merit being flexed into primetime.
Okay.
I think they get a Thursday night game somewhere in the first half of the season. Somewhere in the first half of the season, the Titans will have a Thursday night game. Now, I don't know where it's going to be or who they're going to play, but that's my prediction. A Thursday night game in the first half of the season.
It depends on how they set up the schedule, though. We've already – there's been leaks of – well, the Giants and the Jets are within the first 3 to 5 games.
Yes.
So you're
Jets
pitting
week
them
one, Giants week
so
three.
So you're pitting them against at least two teams they had. They should be, you know, winning in a sense. So who are those other 3 or 4 games that they schedule at the beginning of the year?
I feel more confident saying that they're not going to get one because the Giants and Jets would have been two logical ones that might have been candidates if you were going to – throw them a cookie.
But what if they start off 3-0?
Well, they don't flex games until when? The last quarter of the season?
Yeah, late
yeah,
in the season.
Yeah, but I'm saying they start 3-0, and then now that gets them to thinking, okay, there may be a possibility depending on what they
now do. Now Derek's got them going 3-0.
Let's go to break before
that
Derek says
great.
Something else crazy. 615.
I'm all for this plan. If it happens, I'll be excited.
You heard it here first. Titans starting 3-0, according to Derek Mason.
Oh, my goodness.
And two primetime games. And then two more that are flex to primetime.
You won't be able to turn off the Tennessee Titans. 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction to the NFL schedule release. It's been reported. Jets at Titans in week one. Titans at Giants in week three. Jets at Titans in week one. Titans at Giants in week three. I believe it's also been reported somewhere that the Eagles will be the Titans' opponent in week two. That game, I believe, would be here. 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction. Plus, I want to comment on an unbelievable game last night. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 the game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 the game. Our friend Chad here has showed me the lines for NFL Week 1 via Superbook Sports. Titans favored by 2.5.
Oh, went up. See? They hear me.
Line's going up.
Over under 39.5.
Man.
We'll see.
Close to 20
Jets
points.
At Titans reported
per
in
team.
Week 1. The NFL schedule will officially be released in a few hours. The anticipation is killing all of us. Jeremy in Clarksville says, small market teams don't get featured in primetime. It's not just the Titans. Kansas City wasn't a primetime team until they got Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. The Patriots weren't a primetime team until they got Tom Brady, although I would say Boston's a pretty big market.
Exactly.
The Titans haven't had a star quarterback or been consistently good. But Derek made the point, for a while the Titans were consistently solid.
And listen, to say Kansas City is a small market, they're not. The trophy is named after their owner. That is not a small, maybe a small city, But the NFL don't look at them as a small market team.
Well, from like a population slash media
standpoint. Yeah, the TV market is the market. But you certain teams like Green Bay would be the extreme example. They're in the tiny market, but they have a following. So.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's just like Kansas City. So
I think Kansas City, especially with all the success, has a regional following.
Exactly. So, but what was the other question he was saying?
Small market teams don't get featured in primetime. Uh-huh. It's not just the Titans. Kansas City wasn't a primetime team.
Willie brought up that, you know, well, I brought up and Willie agreed with it that, listen, in between that time span, the Titans were one of the best teams in the league. And they were not, one, respected when you're talking about scheduling. They were not respected in that aspect. Nor were they respected when you're talking about nationally, how the people saw Nashville, or let's say the Titans, not necessarily the city, but how they saw the Titans. But the Titans were one of the best teams in that span. So no matter if they're winning or losing, it seems like they're grasping for an opportunity to prove that, you know, we are worthy of having a national game when they've proven it, you know, more times than not.
I'm looking to see what the Titans' combined record was.
It was 81 and 100 and something. And a lot of it was the last 2 years, the last two or three years.
Okay. I will look that up because I am curious to see where the Titans' record ranks in that span, if I can get my internet to work. This is great radio. Okay. Their winning percentage between 2016 and 2021 – 608, which was tied for eighth in the NFL. Mm-hmm. They were 59-38 between 2016 and 2021. The only teams, well, that might include playoffs. No, does that include playoffs too?
Well, I mean,
no, it doesn't. I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong thing here. So here are the teams with the better winning percentage between 2016 and 2021. Kansas City, New England, New Orleans, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, Baltimore, and Seattle. End of list. I don't know how many primetime games the Titans had between 2016 and 2021, but that's to your point.
If you start winning a lot of games, you'll get on there more. That's the way it's always been.
But it's not like the Titans benefited from being one of the more successful teams in that time period. They still didn't benefit from it.
Well, perhaps
is there a benefit for playing? Like, I think I could make an argument that playing every Sunday on a routine where you know your week is the same every week.
No, you're right about that.
There's some good things about that.
No, you're absolutely right. Guys, just like everybody, I believe everybody, but we like routine. It's best when we're in the routine. So if I'm waking up, you know, 3-4 weeks in a row, and the game is at 12, no matter what, whether it's 12 Central, 12 Eastern, 1 Central, we know. But we do like that, you know, it to be broken up, you know, two or three times during the year where you're not always playing at noon or, you know, 3 o'clock, which is, you know, noon West Coast time. So we do like that. But, yeah. Like you said, Willie, it's good to get up every morning, have your routine, know what time you're playing, know what time the game in, and you can kind of go from there. But we do love an opportunity to play on television, whether it's once or twice a year.
I do want to sneak in what I thought was a fabulous game last night. It didn't look like it was going to be a fabulous game. It ended up being a fabulous game. The Colorado Avalanche eliminate the Minnesota Wild 4-3 in overtime. The Wild led 3-0 at the end of the first period. Two late goals by the Avalanche force overtime. Brett Kulak with the overtime winner as the Avalanche advance to the Western Conference Final, where they will take on either Vegas or Anaheim. That game 6 tonight, and we'll tell you why you need to root for the Golden Knights in that game in just a moment. But, Willie, you know me. I love my obscure stats, and this one was right up my alley. The Wild are the first team in NHL history to have a 3-plus goal lead at the first intermission of a playoff game, but then have fewer than 10 shots on goal the rest of the way and end up losing. This is the ultimate. We're up 3-0. We're parking the bus. And that's dangerous against the Colorado Avalanche.
You know, I hear that, and I think there's some truth to that. But in the defense of the Wild, I watched the third period. They had that crowd completely out of it for 15, 16 minutes. They had it completely under control. They weren't getting a lot of shots. They did hit a crossbar right before that would have made it 4-1. And I'm thinking, ooh boy, if the Avs do, because you're thinking all along, it doesn't take the Avs much to come up with a couple goals. They're so explosive. So I wouldn't blame any team for trying to play contained first. Don't give up any odd man rushes. Don't get into a track meet. Stay out of the box. They did all of that. And they're leading 3-1 with 3-plus minutes to go. And they iced the puck when they shouldn't have. And then they didn't cover very well out top. They made a couple. And just Colorado made two plays. But it was stunning. It was stunning to have them. But the Avs right now just seem to be the team that is finding ways. They've got the depth. It wasn't the top guys completely. It was the depth guys were making plays for them too.
But that's what happens when you have a, you know, top to bottom a good team.
The Avalanche have had 17 different goal scorers.
That shows you how 17. Deep their team is. Yeah. And like that, I've seen that in plenty of sports. I know you've seen it, Willie,
every
and Adam,
sport.
Where, you know, you got the lead, you're playing this high-octane team, and it's almost like, let's not do anything wrong. Let's play not to lose.
Yeah.
And what happens? You end up getting out of sync. You end up getting out of rhythm. You end up, now you put the car in neutral, and you expect just the coach play good defense, and all of a sudden they score a goal, score another one. It's like you can't turn it on anymore.
And the goal that Nathan MacKinnon scored to tie the game. I mean, how many players can score that goal?
Yeah, great shot.
One.
It was a great shot.
It was a.
But the guys on TNT awesome did shot. A good job, Chris Chelios in particular, and it just shows you the difference between TNT's coverage and ESPN's coverage. Chris Chelios was with ESPN for a while. I don't know what happened. I don't know how they do it. But Chris Chelios is much more insightful with the TNT crew. I don't know if they're just teeing him up better or what. But he made a good point. He showed the defenseman, Jake Middleton, for Minnesota. When MacKinnon's got the puck, you can't give him that shot.
No.
He's too good of a shooter. He should have come out.
You got to press him.
Force him to give up the puck. Don't get beat by him there, even though that is a shot normally, a normal shooter. Mm-hmm. You would allow them to shoot that because the chances of them putting in that hole are slim. You know, that's a 1 out of 20 at best, maybe 1 out of 50 for some shooters. But for MacKinnon, he's got a better chance of putting it in that hole. And the goalie, they pointed out as well, Wahlstedt, he went down just before he should have. He should have been more upright. MacKinnon saw him hunched down a little bit. He opened up that little spot at the top of the goal and bing.
That's like being down 3 points with Steph Curry having the ball at midcourt. And you say, I'm not going to pick him up.
Right.
No, you get the ball out of his hands at midcourt. So he don't get up the court. Because he's the only guy that can shoot from midcourt and more than likely make it.
Yep.
The Avalanche's opponent in the Western Conference Final could be decided tonight. Vegas at Anaheim, an 8:30 p.m. Central puck drop. Vegas up 3-2. And Predators fans, I know that you do not want to root for the Vegas Golden Knights. But tonight, you're going to want to root for the Vegas Golden Knights. Because if the Vegas Golden Knights win tonight and eliminate the Anaheim Ducks, the Predators will receive a 2027 second-round pick from the Nick Hague trade last summer. It was a conditional third-round pick that turns into a second-round pick if Vegas wins two rounds. So if Vegas wins tonight and goes on to the Western Conference Final to take on Colorado, the Predators will add another second-round pick. So you may have to throw up in your mouth a little bit. You may have to shield your eyes a little bit. But go, Knights, go. Go, Knights, go. That's what you should be saying tonight if you're a Predators fan.
Root for Colton Sissons, Cole Smith.
Jeremy Lozon.
Jeremy Lozon. Yeah, just justify
just
it.
Just root for those guys.
Yeah. Right. So, again, if the Golden Knights win tonight and advance to the Western Conference Final, the Predators will receive a 2027 second-round pick courtesy of the Golden Knights from the Nick Hague trade. A conditional third-round pick that turns into a second-round pick if the Golden Knights win two rounds, which they can do if they win tonight. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Stanley Cup playoffs. But coming up next, last week we had a spirited discussion about possible, more than likely, college football playoff expansion. And I heard something from a league commissioner that made me sick to my stomach. And we'll talk about that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Join the Chase and Big Joe show tomorrow from noon to 3 for the grand opening of Goodwood Nashville and their brand new location at 219 Lafayette Street. Chase and Joe will be giving away tickets to see Nashville Smash of the Team Boxing League take on the Boston Butchers at Municipal Auditorium on May 23rd. Goodwood Nashville is the place to go for hardwood lumber with white oak, walnut, maple, poplar, and many more. They have it all, 15,000 square foot warehouse that you need to see. Visit them online at goodwoodnashville.com.